Hola and welcome back to Voz Memos. In this episode, I want to talk about where the line is between informed and just completely overwhelmed. 2025 so far has been extremely exhausting if you're trying to keep up with the news, both locally in the US, local politics, national politics, and global crisis. It's just a lot out there, and I want to talk about, in the realm of self-care, how do you stay informed without getting overwhelmed, and what things should be on your radar in terms of culture and hobbies, I guess. So if any of that sounds interesting to you, grab your favorite snack, get hydrated, get cozy, and let's get right into it. All right, so before I get into everything, I know I just said let's get into it. I do want to do a goal check because I said I would do that in, I think, the first episode of the season. I wanted to check in with you guys and see how you're doing on your goals. Are you making progress? Are you falling behind? For me, I am hitting somewhere between my floor and ceiling goal on staying active. And if you don't know what floor and ceiling goal is, go back a couple episodes. It's a really helpful tool to stay on track with anything that you think could be more in a range of success instead of the black and white terms of success. So go back and check that out. And then in terms of working on my novel, I am behind. And I think, a due date is coming up for me. I said I would be done with this current draft at the end of February. I really need to make some progress there. I think the issue with that one, that goal, was a little vague. And then sometimes something that happens to me with goals is I get overwhelmed and stressed. And so then I procrastinate. I think that's a cycle many of us fall into. So using this podcast as my accountability buddy, I am going to make progress in the next 2 weeks by the end of February. I will be finishing that draft, and I'm going to do it just a little bit each day. I need to not be scared. I know it's a good book, and I want it to be out there, so I'm going to keep working on it. So thank you for keeping me accountable on that. All right, so that's kind of the update on where I'm at with my goals. The whole idea with the goal check is to help spread the magic of this accountability from the podcast to the listeners. I think I accomplished a lot more than I could have ever dreamed last year just by talking about my goals and my progress all throughout the year with this podcast. So I wanted to extend that magic to you guys. So take the goal check seriously, but also it's just fun. It's supposed to help us all accomplish more. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's talk about some of the things that are kind of making me feel insane. Let's be real. Something that just popped up recently was AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of the most badass bitches in Congress. She was getting heat for knitting on an Instagram reel or Instagram live. I don't know. But basically, she's picked up the hobby of knitting. And while she's informing people online about how to help neighbors confront ICE and what's going on behind the scenes in Congress and at the White House, she happened to be knitting. First of all, women can multitask. They're like, the pushback on this was insane to me because the amount of times I multitask at work as literally part of my job, like, part of my job, if I was not good at multitasking, I would be doing bad at my job because I need to be able to tune in and out of meetings. I need to be able to get things done in a day that's completely packed with work. I need to be sending out notes and all these things. So multitasking is part of my job. And I know there's studies out there that say it's not, it slows you down. That's probably true. But at a certain point, I just have to get something done while I'm also doing something else. So even if it's a little slower. So the fact that people couldn't believe that you could knit, which is even more mindless than crochet from what I know. You don't have to count as closely with your stitches because it's all on the needle. Just insane to me that people can't trust you to talk and knit at the same time. Like, women have been in knitting circles for generations, centuries. And yeah, like, so it sparked this whole conversation online about how knitting, in fact, is part of the resistance. It is a form of resistance where, first of all, you're busying your hands. You're not going out and buying things. You're making your own clothes. You are stepping out of that cycle of overconsumption and actually creating something quality, a garment of quality that honestly can be passed down for generations. So there's all this history behind knitting. And for me, I'm not a knitter. I am a crocheter. But even crochet has this same story. Like, back in the 70s, crochet was popular because it was part of that element of resistance and social justice, the whole reproductive rights movement. Like, any time that there is a rise in women focusing on their rights and working to better society overall, there is like a resurgence of these fiber arts. If you think back to the women's marches, and there were thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who learned how to knit, learned how to crochet, learned how to sew to make those pussycat hats. Like, I have a craft book. I'm going to grab it. For the thumbnail, people, I have a craft book called Crafting the Resistance, 35 Projects for Craftivists, which, okay, that word needs to be circulated again. Craftivists, protesters, and women who persist. So, by Laura Neal and Heather Morano. So, that in itself, the fact that there is an entire published book about how crafting is, in fact, part of the resistance, and that I just happen to own it, is insane. Like, that people would assume by knitting, AOC is not doing her job. And the fact that, like, Congress, like, working for Congress is a job. And it probably does take more hours from her personal time than it should, but she does get personal time too. So she could be knitting in her personal time. I think when she goes live, she's often like in transit. Like, that would be dead time otherwise. Like, there's only so much emailing you can do from your phone. So that was a whole thing that blew up, I think, just this week alone, because she has been going live a lot with tips on how to resist in your own way in small ways. And I think those kind of tips are actually really important right now, because, like I said, when does informed become insanity? Like, we need to focus in on what is possible in ourselves to resist and not get so caught up in like, oh my God, this is going to be 4 years. This is a huge battle. Like, I can't do anything. I'm just one person. Like, slow down. You are not alone going to solve it. And take a step back. What can you do today? What can you do in a week? What can you do in a year to help slow down basically the coup that's happening in our country? And I am talking in the U.S. Most of my listeners, my like 20 listeners, are U.S. based. But if you're international, I'm getting to that. And I'm getting to the international part of this podcast at the end. But yeah, I wanted to talk about AOC because I love her. I'm not going to stand a politician. She's still a politician. But she is doing the most that she can do, I believe. And she's a good example of what an ideal congressperson could be. So get out your knitting needles. Get out your crochet needles. We still have a long winter ahead of us. Summer's around the corner, and it all goes back to being anti-capitalist, anti-consumerism, and honestly a callback to the generations of women before us. If you can just pick up a hobby like that, and you don't have to commodify it, you don't have to turn it into a side hustle. It is literally just a way for you to step away from the screen, do something with your hands, and pay homage to generations of craftivists And yeah, do your part to like make sustainable clothing, to try something new, and yeah, just to not feed into this like fast fashion machine. Anytime I pick up my crochet needles, I'm always thinking of my mama Angie, who passed away a few years ago now. But she was a huge crocheter. She made like, she was doing Plarn before Plarn was cool. She would make us beautiful shawls. Like, these must have taken like 60-100 hours to make. Like, she really was talented. And any little scrap of crochet that I can pull off is 100% like dedicated to her and her craft, because yeah, she really inspired me to pick up crochet after she passed away. So I'll keep moving here. If you're watching the YouTube video, I am losing the sunlight. It's still Minnesota winter, so my procrastination efforts are definitely backfiring on me in this scenario. But the next topic I have is reading, because reading is still like a huge resurgence right now. I think I love my book club girlies, like, but even just people outside of the book club, bookosphere, whatever, they are picking up books again, which is great. I think there is a current scandal going on with the Kindle, but I'm not part of that, so I'm not gonna get into it. If you have a Kindle, maybe Google some. I think something's happening for you guys, so just check on that. But in terms of reading, and this kind of plays into media in general and the topic at hand, the informed versus insane, I think we need to be carefully choosing our media right now. Because in terms of self-care, I want to be reading like light books. I want to be reading fun books. But then in terms of staying informed, I'm trying to read like actually important books. Our book club just finished Cane River, which if you haven't picked it up, I think it was on the Oprah book club list. It is an amazing read. Very historical, very like grounded in like actual historical documents. And it goes all the way like pre-Emancipation Proclamation to 1939, I think. So literally following the generations. It's a very heavy read, but very important. And yeah, like I've always had the, like I had this goal last year that I didn't really get to about just reading more feminist literature. I just got in The Woman Destroyed by Simone de Beauvoir, most influential thinker of her generation. Anyway, trying to read more feminist literature and just getting more like Black authors on my list. It is Black History Month, but we need to be reading Black authors year round. More Latina authors on my list, again, year round, right? Minority authors year round, especially in this time. And the thing is, like, you can read minority authors without having to read like the heavy stuff too. I think on my list right now, I have this one author, Silvia Moreno Garcia, and this is almost a 4-star book, Mexican Gothic, and it's like a mystery thriller, but it's a Latina author. Like, so it doesn't have to be hard to incorporate these minority perspectives into your hobby. I mean, it can apply to movies, TV, whatever you have, but just like being more conscientious about what we pick. Like Emily Henry was on our list of potential reads for the summer, and I was just like, ladies, come on, we've read Emily Henry as a book club. None of us were that impressed. Like, she does what she does, right? It's like, it's a romance, it's a light read. But we can find something that has just a little bit more to it in some regard, right? So, yeah, just being a little bit more cognizant about how we handle that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I was talking to one of my book club girlies, and she was feeling pretty overwhelmed to the point where, like, she's like, yeah, I'm bringing this up in therapy where, like, all of my books are sad. And I don't stop doing this to myself because I want to be informed and I want to read important things. But there is a balance, right? Like with Cane River, it took me a long time to get through it. It literally took me the whole month to get through it because it was so heavy. But at the same time, At the same time, I was reading Onyx Storm, which if you're reading the Empyrean series, you know, it's not it's not a heavy read by any means. It's a little smutty. It's a little romantic-y, but I mean, it helped kind of balance, right? And I think like if one out of three books that you're reading is like a more informative something to it, that's doing more than most. And okay, this is from YouGov.com, and I'll link it in the show notes, from 2023. Just over half of all Americans said they read at least one book in 2023, and 82% of Americans read 10 or fewer books. So if you're reading one book, like, you're doing better than half of America, right? And if you read that book from the library, like, you're accomplishing something and you're not spending money. Like, it's very simple in my mind. So pick up a book, pick up a hobby, be cognizant about where your media is coming from and who your media is reflecting. And I think this is a great segue into my last point here. No Other Land. I watched this film a few weeks ago with my dad. It was a little daddy-daughter date, kind of a downer. If you're not in the loop on what No Other Land is, it's a documentary about literally boots on the ground, what's happening in Palestine, specifically what's happening in Masafar Yatta, which is a small town in Palestine, still being erased. This documentary was recently Oscar nominated. So for those of you who are saying you're Oscar ready, you're getting Oscar ready, make sure this one's on your list, because honestly, it took me days to process what happened. And I keep thinking about it. Like, I keep thinking about watching people's houses just get bulldozed over. And then they're like, okay, well, this is our land. We have no other land. And we will be living in a cave and secretly rebuilding our house at night. And then the next day, Israeli government comes by. Israeli military comes by. Oh, we're going to take away your tools. Oh, we're going to bulldoze that again. Like, the resilience of these people to continually rebuild and rebuild. And eventually, a lot of them do move away because they cut the power. They cut the water. Like, they dehumanize these people to the point of like they have to leave or they're going to like they have no resources. So the documentary really stuck with me and made me want to watch more from Palestinian documentarians, from Palestinian writers. Like, and I'm reading like one of his articles right now about how despite the success of the documentary No Other Land and the Oscar nomination, like, it's still happening. Like, things are still happening in Palestine that are erasing the Palestinians, that are creating more injustices for Palestinians. And we just need to be doing way more for Palestine than what's happening right now. So I think this movie is kind of like in that area of where you can be informed but then not go insane, because it lays out what exactly is happening, what has been happening for years. And then there is just so much you can do for Palestine. I think after I came home from that documentary, I was like, okay, I'm going to go out and buy a kufiya from a Palestinian factory so that the funds go to Palestine, to Palestinian makers of the kufiya. That's what I'm wearing right now. If you're watching the episode, it's the scarf that symbolizes Palestinian resistance and the strength of the Palestinian people, their heritage. Each different pattern in it symbolizes a piece of Palestinian culture. Like, I think like the olive leaves, and just it's a great way to like show that you're an ally to Palestine and that you want their culture to continue to persist. And yeah, it's just been a symbol of resistance for a long time. So go out and buy a kufiya I think National Kafia, International Kafia Day is coming up. May 11th. May 11th is World Kafia Day. So to show solidarity with Palestine. So get one before then. Get on the wait list because a lot of these like factories are actually completely sold out, which is great, but also makes it hard to get it. So yeah, I think that's a huge thing. It's just that documentary moved me so much, and I've been talking about it with my friends and trying to get other people to see it. Like, it is hard to see right now because it's not getting picked up. It's on a very small distribution. I watched it at my local art museum, and I live in Minneapolis, so that is a big museum. So check the internet, like do a little Google search, see where you can see it, because I feel like with all the Oscar buzz, it's going to get forgotten because it's a documentary. It's from an indie filmmaker. Like, there's a lot of reasons it's going to get breezed over. So don't let that happen. And with that, I'm now podcasting in the dark. So I think it's time for me to wrap it up. Yeah, just take care of yourselves out there because there's a lot going on. Every day there's like a plane crash, a fire, just crazy things happening. All the federal firings, I just listened to the New York Times Daily about that with like interviews from people that were let go, just no reason, just emailed, you're terminated, and then your access is shut off. Like crazy things, unprecedented things. And I think that term, unprecedented times, has been around since COVID, and it's not going away because the world is changing very quickly, and it's going to take a lot of work to right the direction that we're going in. And so it needs to be a sustained effort. So you need to take care of yourself. It's okay to unplug. President's Day, I spent like 7 hours quilting. I've never quilted before, but it was super fun. And I didn't pick up my phone for 7 hours. I was completely in the zone. And it felt so good to accomplish something, to create something that was adorable, by the way. And yeah, I really am confused how people don't have hobbies. I would go insane if I didn't have my hobbies to like ground me. So if you haven't picked up a hobby, maybe starting with this book, Crafting the Resistance, would be a good place to start, because a lot of these are very beginner. If I'm honest with you, I haven't really made anything in this book because some of them are pretty basic. But if you need some inspiration, I think the patterns are in here. It's really helpful for that. And I think we're going to need another Women's March pretty soon with the way things are going. So stay safe out there and keep your loved ones close. Give your cat a kiss, and I'll see you in the next one. If you like this podcast, give it a 5-star on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, give it a follow, subscribe on YouTube. And if you want to know more about it, AngelaGeorge.com/voice-memos. I'm really glad you're here, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.